Hi everyone, welcome to our first session of Live Support with ODEAL for Changing Negative Childhood Memories using the REMET method. So we've created this forum for those who've watched our YouTube videos or read our book and need personal help with using the techniques to get changes, but aren't in a position to do one-to-one sessions. So that includes addressing trauma. So if you're new to the REMET method, be sure to check out the links in the description of this post. But here are a few of the main points you'll need to know. So first of all, thoughts are connections between neurons in the neocortex of the brain. Secondly, those connections between neurons trigger matching chemicals. Negative thoughts trigger stress chemicals like adrenaline and cortisol, and positive thoughts trigger feel-good chemicals like endorphins, serotonin, and oxytocin. Thirdly, implicit or unconscious childhood memories provide the evidence that proves our self-image and worldview. In turn, our self-image and worldview provide the foundation for our unconscious decisions and actions, and those memories can be changed to the opposite, positive and empowering. So if you'd like help changing your negative implicit childhood memories, check the description of this post for details so you can benefit from one of the future Wednesday sessions. All right, so I'm going to go straight on to this week's. We have four questions this week. So the first one, I'll just give you all four and then we'll go into it. So the first one is an anonymous question about dealing with a toddler with severe behavioral issues. The second one is a question about what's causing a pattern of being alone with no friends. The third one is how to deal with deep emotions of fear and anger that have been repressed and are now surfacing. And the fourth one for today is another anonymous question on how to deal with trauma. So let's go to the first one. So this anonymous question, and she says, my son, a toddler, has no diagnosis yet, but he has severe behavioral issues. How can I help him? And how can I deal with this issue without getting super stressed and losing hope? How can I be a better mom? And there's a little bit of more background information that for this person. She says, I was severely abused as a child and therefore have a lot of blockages. My main issues now are resistance and fear to change. Finances and the relationship with my son. So I think that, you know, there's some important information there that's going to be impacting your relationship with your son as well. So well done for asking the question and reaching out for help. So the first part of this is recognizing that in order to help your son in any way, the most effective way to help him is to make sure that you are safe and happy and healthy, and that you have the foundation of empowerment yourself. And so remembering that with parenting, each of us, because all of us, all adults, are effectively children in adult bodies, because we've spent coping skills, our coping mechanisms, our survival mechanisms, all of those are created in childhood. It's effectively the child in you who's trying to parent your child. So it's the child in you who's trying to deal with the behavior of this toddler. And so recognizing that in the first instance and taking care of the child in you. So using the technique of imagining being surrounded by your color and then hugging the little you and making that little you feel safe, reassuring that child. And as you find yourself starting to feel triggered, so whatever that behavior is, as soon as you become aware you're starting to be triggered, imagine a big pause button in your mind. Imagine pressing pause, taking a deep breath and hugging the little you. So remember, it's the child in you that's feeling that trigger, not the adult. So do that first. So that's number one. Second piece, ask yourself. So when you think of your son's behavior, so when you're not with him, so you're not with him now, as you think of his behavior, what's the first thing, or the worst thing rather, about his behavior? And how does that feel for you? What does it mean to you? So whatever that kind of behavior is, ask yourself, okay, so what's the worst thing about it? What triggers me about it? What's the problem with this? Then ask yourself how that feels. And then, of course, where in your childhood did you feel that same feeling? It may be a different topic. So it may not be anything to do with someone's behavior. It may be something else, but it'll be that same feeling. So let's say it's irritability. I feel irritated. So then ask yourself, as you think of your childhood, where in your childhood did you feel that feeling of irritation, or where someone was irritated with you? So where did you experience irritation? And then, of course, change those memories to the opposite, positive and empowering. So for those who are new to the REMIT method, we will post, you can check the description for the links to our website and our YouTube channel. And also our book goes into detail on how to do this, these techniques. And I will also post a link to a YouTube video that takes you step by step through changing a negative memory. So for this person, doing that, practicing those memories. Now, the fact that you have, as you mentioned, abuse in your childhood, definitely make sure you're changing that, because that's going to probably be the biggest, that's going to be having the biggest impact on your ability to cope with your son's behavior now. And one of the first things you may want to do, if you haven't already done this, use the due justice technique. So specifically for the abuse. So use the due justice technique to get closure for that little you regarding whatever went on with the abuse. Make sure you change it to the opposite, positive and empowering. And of course, keep reaching out here for help if you need help through that process. So, you know, put your name on for next week if you need to, so that, and I can take you, if you want to, if you want me to take you through the process, I can do that, no content. So it can be anonymous, so you don't have to be on camera. We can do audio only if you like. And I can take you specifically through changing those memories without knowing what the details are. All right, so hopefully that helps. The other thing I wanted to say here as well is using pre-paving. So when you go to sleep at night and do the little exercise with the color and hugging the little you and practicing a feeling of unconditional love, which again, we can put a link to that in the description as well, or in the comments. So getting into that state of unconditional love, and then imagine shining that light, that love, that energy through tomorrow and your son, no matter what happens. And then when you wake up in the morning, do that again. So do your color, hugging the little you, getting into that state of shining, as opposed to, trying to do things. Have it created in you and shining like radiating out, and imagine filling your day with that light, that energy, that love, no matter what happens and no matter what your son does. What that will do is it'll change your chemical state in that moment. So that kind of sets you up for the day a little bit better. But changing those memories is going to be crucial. All right. So I hope that's helpful. Of course, let me know if you need more on that. So going on to the next one. So this question is from Prachi, who can't be here, but she'll get the answer in the recording. Hi, Prachi, when you watch the recording. So Prachi says, I don't have any friends in my college. I'm all alone and don't know what's causing this because the same thing happened in my school. It's like repeating itself. So I want to know what's causing this. So well done for asking, Prachi. It's good to have you with us. So first of all, understanding that being alone is subjective. So asking yourself what it means to you to be alone and to not have friends, because for some people it means peace. Some people like being alone. They go, oh, yes, I don't want, I want time to myself. And for others, it means loneliness. So ask yourself, so to me, how does it, what does it mean that I don't have friends? And how do I know that I don't have friends? Or how do I know this is a pattern, this keeps happening? As those answers come to you, ask how that feels. So how does that feel, to be in this situation? And so, for example, if it means that I'm not good enough, how does it feel to not be good enough? So that's an example. And then ask yourself where in your childhood you felt that same feeling. Very importantly, it may be a different topic. So it may not be to do with friends, but it'll be that same feeling. And it's important also to remember and note that the original references for whatever that is may not, it will probably have come from before school. So, you know, you experienced it in school, but there were references for it before that, because when you got to school and started interacting with other kids, your brain was already referring to previous references for what this means and who you are and how the world works. So you look for that feeling as early as possible, probably at home and probably to do with your parents. But if you can't think of anything earlier, that's okay. Just go with the earliest that you can remember and change those. And then you may find earlier ones come. If they don't, it means your brain's been able to change those, update those other references. So change the memories, whatever references are there, the earliest ones first, to the opposite, positive and empowering, and then move forward to the earlier school ones and so on, you know, until you get to college and so on. So what you're aiming for is the final result is that the little you as a child always felt safe and loved and heard and valuable and respected by your parents at home. So that's how, you know, make sure that you created a strong foundation for that, because from that foundation, then going to school, you would have automatically connected with other people. It would have been easy. You would have had confidence automatically and that kind of thing. So that's how that follows. All right. And of course, use the little the technique for the color and hugging the little you. Make sure that you're doing that regularly. So, and when you feel that, you know, when you're in that sort of situation, you're feeling that loneliness or that feeling of being alone, hug the little you. So imagine that that your color, and then imagine hugging that child and reassuring that child, and speak to that part of you the way you would if there was a real child there feeling that. All right. So I hope that's helpful, Prajit. Let us know if you need more on that, and if you have any questions about it. All right, so next up is Paige, and I thought Paige was going to be here in person, but I don't see her in the room, so I'll answer it without that, and she can get the answer in the recording. So Paige's question is how to deal with deep emotions, i.e. fear and anger, that have been repressed but are now surfacing. How to replace beliefs that don't serve without making them dig in harder. So great question, Paige. Thank you for that. So I know that I recommended to you to do the due justice technique. So I don't know if you've had a chance to do that yet. That I would say is the very first and the main thing for you to do, you know, the most, the top priority. So if you haven't yet done it, do the due justice technique. I've given you the link, but we'll put the link in the comments as well for everybody else, because that is going to give that that's going to give that part of you closure. So that'll be good. Oh, Steve just said, just discovered we're live on your personal page. Oh, well, hi, everyone. Okay, technical teething issues. All right, so doing the due justice. The second piece to do here is imagine you've got a child with you who is feeling this these emotions of fear and anger, and they have been repressed in that child all this time, and now that child is starting to express them. How would you treat that child? So what would you say to her, and how would you behave with her? So, you know, presumably you'd reassure her, you would give her the acknowledgement. So, you know, you've every right to feel these feelings, absolutely, you know, so acknowledge and justify and reassure. The piece that a lot of people, you know, so those of us who were stopped, you know, have suppressed emotions, not allowed to express yourself, sometimes we go to the other extreme. So we discover, okay, we can express it. It needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be expressed and all of that. And that's great. But it's important to remember that's just a stepping stone. You don't want to stay there. So you don't want to stay in that state of anger and fear being expressed. You want to acknowledge it, and then move forward. So using that that sort of idea of the child with you, you certainly want to acknowledge the child, with respect, reassure the child, and then you want to help that child come out of it, not leave them there. So you would, sweetie, I'm so sorry, you're right, and that shouldn't have happened, and hug and all of that. Okay, and so now, what are you ready to go and have some fun? So, and a big part of being ready to change those memories to move forward will be doing the due justice technique. All right, so that's going to help that child feel that child part of you feel that they've been acknowledged and justice has been done, and now it's safe to move forward with changing. So I hope that helps. If you need more, put your name again on the list, and if you're able to attend live, we can do a bit of back and forth. I can ask you more questions and take you through the process a little bit more. And the final question for today is an anonymous question on how to deal or work with trauma. So this person says, I simply cannot visit that memory due to the strong emotional load and dysregulating and so on. So well done for asking for help with this. And I know a lot of people are going to need this information. So thank you for the question. So when dealing with trauma, first of all, understanding that very briefly, that when we feel the emotional trigger, so as you think of that memory and you feel the emotions of fear, anger, betrayal, frustration, whatever's there, hurt, those feelings are the sensations of stress chemicals like adrenaline and cortisol, and those are the same chemicals that are produced when we're in physical danger. That's why it's so strong. In addition to that, one of the effects of those chemicals is they cause blood to drain from the prefrontal cortex of the brain, where we do our cognitive thinking, to the back of the brain, which means that we can't think straight. And that's why it can become very quickly become overwhelming when dealing with trauma. So that's why we suggest not dealing with trauma on your own. However, for those who can't work one-to-one or who are who can't be here live, here's a gentle way or a safer way of dealing with it. So start with, you're not going to visit the memory at all for now. So do the little exercise, the little 2-minute exercise. Again, we'll share a link to that in one of the comments, where you're imagining surrounding yourself with your color and hugging your subject and then hugging the little you. So whatever you do to get into that state of feeling good. So what you're doing there is you're producing feel-good chemicals like endorphin, serotonin, oxytocin. Once you can feel the good feelings, so you don't want to be addressing any negative memories when you're already feeling bad. Get yourself into a feel-good state first. Once you're feeling good, then you're going to imagine, you're not going to go to the memory, you're going to imagine the memory is in a box or some other kind of container. So you're just going to know that memory is now in a box or some container that's locked and it's secure. So the memory is not coming out. You're not going in. You're not going to open that box just yet. So you've got the memory in a box and it's locked. Then ask, and then go back to the feel good state. Then ask yourself, how would I feel if I were to look at that box? Not going to open it. Just if you were to look at that box that the memory's inside it, how would it feel? And if there's any, be vigilant, if there's any negative emotions, immediately stop, press pause, and go back to the feel good state. So the key here is keeping yourself topped up with those feel good chemicals. So you're not, stress chemicals are stronger, so you don't want to spend any time producing those. So as soon as you feel the slight negative emotions, press pause, go back to your color, hugging your subject. You can also use music. So if you've got music you enjoy, you can use that. anything that feels good. You can use physical exercise. So doing that, then you press pause on that. And then if I were to look at that box, how would that feel? And when you think, okay, there's no bad feelings, it would feel fine, then imagine that you're looking at the box. Imagine looking at the box. Again, notice how you're feeling. Again, back and forth. So you're keeping yourself topped up with those feel-good chemicals. If at any point it starts to feel like you can't change back to the feel-good chemicals, stop. You'll come back later. It's okay. You can leave that memory in the box and go and take a break, go and do something fun, speak to a friend, you know, do something that will change your state. Go for a walk, do some physical exercise. So then when you're able to imagine looking at the locked box and you don't feel any negative emotions, then ask yourself, how would it feel if I were to unlock the box and peek inside it? Not going to get in it, not going to look, not going to let the memory out, just going to peek inside it. How would that feel? And notice, be conscious of what's happening inside your body. How are you feeling? Again, press pause, go back to the feel-good chemicals. So you keep doing that. And then when you think, yeah, I can peek inside the box, I don't, you know, that won't bother me, then imagine you're peeking inside the box and notice how you feel. So you keep doing that. Eventually, perhaps you're able to open the box and imagine the memory as an object. So either an object or a static scene, like a little clay display or something like that, or a picture. And again, so that's not real. So again, then how that feels, again, back and forth, until eventually you're able to imagine the memory coming out of the box at a distance and you're not feeling negative emotions. You're not feeling anything. Again, you're keeping yourself topped up with the feel-good chemicals, and then you can do the normal back and forth to change that memory. So then you can follow that step-by-step video for changing that memory, because the emotions are, the negative emotions, stress chemicals are down enough. So I hope that's helpful. There are a lot of other techniques we can use for this. So if this isn't working for you or you're still having trouble with it, let me know, come back and I'll give you some more ideas. All right. So I hope that's helpful for everybody. And that's the end of what we have on our list for today. So if there are any questions before we sign off, let us know. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. I hope that was helpful. The list for next week will be open after the session. I'll open it up. We won't take more than 4 slots on this, so that these sessions don't go on for too long. So there will be 4 slots open again after the session. All right, let us know if you enjoyed that, if it was helpful, and we will see you next time. Lots of love to all of you. Bye bye now.